Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin our service with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, you are a God of mercy and great blessing. In your love, you have redeemed our souls and have given us the gift of eternal life. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and sufferings of this life. Comfort us with your promises. Guide us by your word today, and bless us with the certainty of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 737. Rise. We'll follow the order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. Our worship service today is taken from the worship supplement. If you'd like to see the musical notation for each portion of the liturgy, please look at page 12 and following in the TAN worship supplement. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Savior Jesus, He has removed our guilt forever. Through faith in Him which was created by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child, and we are forgiven. God give you strength now to live according to His will. Amen.
Lord,
have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth, we sing, we worship you.
We pray. Almighty and most merciful God, preserve us from all harm and danger, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. We'll read from chapter 55, verses 7 through 11. These words remind us of how far above us God and his thoughts and his ways are, but also are a great reminder and promise that his word, which is an incredible power in itself, accomplishes at all times what he purposes. We read then from Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Our second reading, our gospel reading for this morning, is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Jesus' words here in a parable remind us of the one thing that is needed, the one great treasure that is him and his word. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join together in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on page 4 in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 765.
Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our promise, our guarantee, and our assurance that the Lord will in fact work all things out for our good, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 28 through 32. And we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, with him, also freely give us all things? These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Everything's going to be all right. You've probably heard that phrase or a similar phrase spoken to you at times in your life, words meant to be a comfort to you. Maybe it was your mother or your father wiping away your tears after having a bad dream, assuring you everything's going to be all right, just go back to sleep, and they tuck you back into bed. Maybe it was a grandparent scooping you up off the playground, off the ground in the playground, helping you as you've scraped your knee, assuring you everything's going to be all right. What about later in life? What about as you've grown into adulthood? Would you say that there are times in your adult life that you've probably longed to hear those words even a little more than you did when you were a child? Everything is going to be all right. Oftentimes as adults, however, we face fears and problems, things of such an overwhelming nature that maybe pale in comparison, or that things like a scraped knee or a bad dream just pale in comparison. And hearing a phrase or a word of comfort like everything is going to be all right just doesn't bring as much comfort to our hearts as maybe it used to. Maybe if it's a particularly devastating tragedy or sad event in our life, such as a sickness or debilitating illness, or maybe the loss of a loved one, somehow someone coming to us and saying to us, everything's going to be all right, just doesn't seem to cut it. Those words don't take away the sorrow. They don't take away the loneliness. They don't take away the pain that comes with such a loss. But what if God himself were to speak those words to us? What if our almighty, all-loving Heavenly Father were to wrap us in his arms and say to us, everything is going to be all right? Wouldn't those words bring our adult-sized hearts the adult-sized comfort that we need for our adult-sized problems? Well, I have good news for you this morning, fellow Christians. God has, in fact, essentially said those very things to you. He said it very clearly, actually, in many places in the Scriptures, but probably none so clearly as our verse from Scripture today. From Romans 8, 28, where he says to us, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those words should end all doubts and all fears, all anxieties, and all apprehensions we've ever had. God promises to work all things out for our good. He's essentially taking us in his arms and through his words telling us everything is going to be all right. We know that promise from Scripture, probably known it from little on. We've been reminded of that promise of Scripture over and over again throughout our lives. So why don't we always have that peace and comfort that we long for in our hearts? Why do doubts and fears and anxieties often get a hold of us, sometimes to the detriment not just of our emotional or spiritual health, sometimes even to the detriment of our physical health? Well, the answer for anyone who's ever taken a breath of life in this world is the fact that we are simply not perfect. We still have that self-destructive, sinful flesh inside of us that will find every reason to doubt, find every reason to distrust God and his promises. So maybe we don't always have the peace and the comfort that we long for because our flesh causes us to doubt whether God really is, in fact, working all things together for good. And when we look at our lives, or look at the lives of the people around us, or look at the world around us,
We can see very quickly why those thoughts or why distrust or doubt would pop up into our hearts and minds. Diseases, sicknesses, injuries, death, addictions, broken lives, broken homes, broken hearts, financial troubles, economic crises, crime, tragedies, terrorism, and wars. And as we watch events like this weekend where you see the tragedies and the racism and violence that happens in Virginia, and as we await what's going to happen with countries like North Korea and the nuclear threat they pose, these things are around us daily. They can cause us to fear, cause us to doubt, and wonder if God is in fact able to make all things work together for good. Or if he is in fact able, maybe he just doesn't really want to do it. Well, we know by faith that God is able to make all things work together for good. And he's doing it for each one of us, individually, as a family, and as a congregation, and even as a group of congregations, as the entire Church of Christ on this earth. He is working all things out for our good, even as we speak. What we have to realize as we look inside of us, and as we look at the world around us, is first and foremost that we live in a world that is fallen. A world that is full of sin because mankind gave into the deception of the devil in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. And secondly, what we have to realize is that even in its fallen state, our God is so great that he's even able to work true good from every evil that Satan has worked in this world. And I say true good because oftentimes the things that God allows or the things that God uses are not always things that we would call good in and of themselves. We as human beings are not always interested or most concerned about our spiritual or eternal good. But God is. He always is. That's why one of the key phrases in this verse is the last phrase in this verse. He works this good to those who are called, those who are believers, who have faith in him, according to his purpose. Not according to our purpose or my purpose or your purpose, but according to his purpose. What we must also realize is that we don't always have all the information. We don't always have all the wisdom to determine what is truly good for us, or what is truly good for Christ's church in general, or even what is truly good for the entire world for that matter. But don't worry, God does. And he's the one that matters. He does have all the information. He is all-knowing. And he has all wisdom to determine what is truly best for us and for all believers in Christ. He reminded us of this fact in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah when he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is also so powerful that he can put his good plans into action for us, despite what the world around us, despite what our sinful flesh inside of us, and even despite what Satan himself might try to do to the contrary. Even take an extreme example of something that is bad. Take the example of death. Death is no doubt a bad thing. In fact, we can think of it sometimes as the worst thing that can happen to a person. And it is, in fact, a bad thing. It was not part of God's original creation. It's a terrible, unnatural thing that happened to this world because of sin. And yet God is so gracious, and he is so powerful and so good that he can take something as horrible as our own death and turn it into the greatest good for a believer. He did that very thing with his own son's death. Think of how horrible and terrible and tragic that was. And that was made into the gift of salvation for us by using that death to take away all of our sins. And so through that death of Christ, through his resurrection, God has turned death, that worst thing,
into the very gate of eternal life for a believer. I've often said that for the believer, the day of your death will be the greatest day of your life. You can think of it this way, too. Think of someone that you've lost, a loved one that you've lost, who was a believer in Jesus. I've recently lost a family member, an aunt. Think of if you could ask them right now, would you like to trade places with me? What would they respond? What would they answer with? They would say, no way. God has truly worked this out for my eternal and spiritual good. But one other reason our flesh may cause us to doubt this promise of God, that all things work together for good to those who love God, is because sometimes in our moments of weakness, we may question whether those last words of that phrase actually apply to us. When we take a quick and honest inventory of our thoughts and our actions, we would probably come up with some good reasons to doubt whether we are, in fact, those who love God. And if we really don't love God, then how can we be sure that His promise to work all things out for good is actually going to apply to me or to you? When those doubts start to fill your heart or your mind, that's when we need to stop taking inventory inside ourselves or looking inside of ourselves and look outside ourselves. Look to the cross and look to what God says and see for a fact that these words do apply to you. He reminds us in this text that we came to love God and to believe in His Son Jesus not because we wanted it badly enough, not because of some effort on our part or something that we did to welcome Him into our hearts. No, rather, Paul tells us that God called to us. God called us to love Him and believe in Him and to gain salvation from His Son Jesus. He called us to this, as Paul says, before even the world began. Before He even said, let there be, He called us to be His own. Listen again to the way Paul speaks in verses 29 and 30 of our text. He says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. In whom He justified, these He also glorified. From eternity, from before time even began, God foreknew us. And the Greek word that's used there shows us that God didn't just know us from eternity, He knew us intimately. He didn't just know who you were or that you would exist, He knew everything about you. Paul tells us that we are predestined to be His own from eternity as well. And in time, then, He used His Holy Spirit to call us to faith in His Son Jesus, so that the justification He won for us on the cross, that great not guilty verdict, you are innocent in God's eyes, would be given to you and me. It would be made our own. But did you also notice something strange about the last word that Paul uses? The fact that He justified us, he says, these He also glorified. He doesn't use a future tense, he actually uses a past tense. So as fully forgiven and justified sinners and believers in Christ, we are sharing in that glory of God right now. Now we'll experience it in its fullest state in heaven, but in God's eyes, since we have been predestined and called and justified, in His eyes, we are as good as glorified. It's as good as done. Believe it. That is God's eternal way of saying to us, everything is going to be all right. He's done absolutely everything necessary to earn, to secure, and to keep us in that salvation forever. So how should we respond to all this, these things that we've been reminded of, or things that maybe we've heard for the first time today? How should we respond to all of this? Well, coincidentally, the Apostle Paul asked that exact question. He says, what shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not, with Him, also freely give us all things. How are we to respond to all that our Savior God has done for us? Respond with confident faith that has no fear. What is it that you are facing right now? What is it that you're not just facing, but what is it that you are fearing right now? God has promised to work all things together for your good. That promise is for you. That promise is for me. Believe it. God has proved it and guaranteed it by sending His Son Jesus to take the punishment for all your sins. All of your sins. Each and every one of them. To take all of your guilt, your shame, and nail it to the cross. If He loves you enough to sacrifice His Son for you on that horrible cross and go through hell so that you would receive heaven, is He not going to take care of all the other worries and cares and concerns, the doubts and fears that we are facing? And the answer, of course, is yes. If He loved us enough to take care of our greatest problem of sin, death, and hell, how will He not take care of our lesser problems as well? Our everyday problems, our cares, those concerns that we have in this life that loom so large. He will. So take some time today, maybe during the worship service on a blank part of the bulletin, maybe during the offering as music is playing, to write down some of the things that you are facing in your life right now, some of the things that are making you fearful. And then meditate on the words from our sermon text. Just a few verses. Read through them again. Take to heart that message and the words and promises from your God. Those are words that Jesus has spoken to you. All those things that you write down and more, Jesus will work out for your good. Hear His words and believe them. Everything is going to be all right. In fact, everything is going to be more than just all right. Jesus has promised that it is going to be good in this life and the next. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold with your Spirit free.
Please be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Continue with hymn 760.
Please rise. In our prayers for today, we'll be asking the Lord to work all things out for the good of our country, for the people who've been affected by various tragedies in our country and around the world. Are there other prayer requests for this morning? We join our hearts together in prayer. O most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you fill heaven and earth with your presence and reign over every creature with your power and glory. We thank you for your word, which enables us to know and worship you as our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. We also thank you for the many personal evidences of your loving and watchful care. Truly, you are our God. We give you honor, glory, and praise to you now and forever. We thank and praise you today, especially for your promise to work all things out for our good. Help each one of us individually remember that promise and to trust in you. Drive out our doubts and our fears. We also ask, Lord, that you will work out that promise for the good of those who are affected by tragedy this weekend in Virginia. We ask that you'd work out things for our good of our country. Be with our president and our leaders in the conflicts that we are facing from North Korea and others who would do us harm. We thank and praise you, Lord, that you have our eternal and spiritual good first and foremost in your mind and heart for us, even when we do not. Help us, Lord, to remember to pray for others, to remember to pray, thy will be done, knowing that you do know what is best for us. And give us hearts and minds that are willing and meek to obey your will and to know that your will is good. Dear Holy Spirit, our divine helper, keep us faithful to your word, and through that word, feed our souls on Christ, the living bread. We ask you to strengthen our faith each day and make us fully committed to bearing fruits of righteousness to the praise and honor of our God. Purify us from all pride or self-righteousness. Teach us to rely alone on the sacrifice of Christ for everlasting life. Accept our praise, dear God, and always hear us when we pray for Jesus' sake, in whose name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 727. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today, or at least welcome back to our guests and visitors who are with us today. We invite you to sign our guest book, invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again, hopefully in the near future. Several announcements for this week. Of course, school begins this week. It starts on Tuesday. School starts at 8, and we'll be having an opening service here in the sanctuary at 8:15. You are all welcome to join us for that. The service will be about 15 to 20 minutes, and then we'll be having pictures for the school families immediately following the service. So keep our opening week of school in your prayers this week as well. Wednesday, I have catechism via Skype at 7 p.m., next Sunday, Bible class at 9 a.m., and then next Sunday we also will be celebrating communion, our worship service time of its usual time, 10 a.m. A few notes in the bulletin about some changes. The Bible class start time will be officially 9 o'clock going forward, 9 a.m., and also some updates to the Southern California worship services. The next time I'll be serving them will be August 27th, that is a Sunday. Both councils here and in East Bay have agreed that on Sundays or weekends when I serve the people in Southern California, it will be on a Sunday. And on those Sundays, we will not have Bible class here or in East Bay. I'll be putting reminders in the bulletins going forward. The next one, again, being August 27th. So our services down there will be on Sundays at 6:30. And my time for services will be approximately every 2 months. And we'll be switching to the second Sunday of each month. Again, I'll be keeping you posted in the bulletin on those schedule changes. More information can be found on page 7 in your bulletin. A big thank you to those who helped with the school spruce up day yesterday, both in the interior of the school building and also in the exterior. It looks great, and the property is definitely ready for the school year. And our teachers and staff are almost ready for it as well. We have till Tuesday, right? We're pretty much 99% ready for the school year this week. Any other announcements this morning? Kirsten.
I just wanted to mention the significance of Spruce Up Day yesterday. The parents, not only yesterday, but there was a Spruce Up Day at the end of the school year. There were just other parents coming throughout the summer, and we had a significant number of families leave last year, but two of those families returned, and both of those dads were here cleaning up gutters, installing mirrors, and just really, really working to beautify our property. And so that was pretty significant for us yesterday.
Those two gentlemen in particular did some of the tougher, harder jobs, and they jumped right in. So yeah, and it was great. There was a lot of families that showed up yesterday. I worried we wouldn't have enough work for them to do, but we found plenty to do yesterday, so we thank the Lord for that. That's a really good a sign of healing and our school moving forward. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.